You'll probably be well aware that Lent begins this week. You'll be getting your pancakes on Tuesday night, I'm sure. And then you'll either be giving up or taking something up over the course of Lent. It's always the way that some people give up chocolate, some people give up crisps or sweets or whatever else it is. But one of the things I was encouraged to do throughout my life, and one thing I would encourage you to do this Lent, is to take something up. You can, of course, give up things if you would like. But we're trying to encourage you to take up something as well, because the theory is that after 40 days, it actually forms some kind of habit. And so there are a number of resources we have, as well as the Bible in a Year, which is available on podcast or CD. We also are going through Lent, and we're going to look at the book of John. And so down at the back of the church at the community board, there are a number of things that we have. There are little reading lists. There is a reader's list that you can sign up and read. You'll not get as much to read as Hazel, but you can read on a Sunday morning for us. There is also on another separate sheet of paper, there is a list that covers the parts of John that we're going to look at on Sundays, and then also what you can read at home. So that throughout the course of Lent, through the space of the weeks, that you'll have read through the book of John. One of the other things that we have as well is that to coincide with that, each Sunday we're looking at certain passages, and each week there is going to be just a little A5 piece of paper with a little bit of context and a little bit of description, a little story, a little kind of few questions on it, just for you to think about what we're looking at on a Sunday, because really we only have a very finite amount of time. We've only got a few minutes to look at, and my sermon will probably be shorter than the reading this morning. But you'll never learn everything from what I say on a Sunday morning. And so we're trying to encourage just you to even take that sheet of paper and read through it and just get a little bit of the context, a little bit of the culture at that time, and try and just paint a fuller story and picture of what goes on in the passages that we look at. So that's that. And then also there is a prayer diary for Lent, which just gives some guidance as to what you can pray for throughout Lent each and every day. It's only the Monday to Saturdays. You get Sunday off because you come here. So that's a little prayer diary that you can take away over Lent. So those are just a number of things that happen. And really, as we look through Lent and as we look through this book of John, we're going to try and see what Jesus says about himself or what claims he makes about himself. And of course, I'm sure you put it together already. This morning, we're looking at the way that Jesus talks about himself in regards to living water and the water of life. And then food that he has that his disciples don't know where he gets it from. And this morning, is all about water and food. These things that Jesus refers to himself as that are just totally bizarre. The disciples and the lady by the well just don't get it. They're kind of thinking, well, Jesus, we know about water because water's what you drink. Water is what you need to stay alive. It varies depending on who you listen to, how many liters you're supposed to drink a day or glasses, but we all know that you have to drink water to live. And so when Jesus talks about that he is this water that will cause this woman to never thirst again, of course she's going to be intrigued, but she's also going to be thoroughly confused because, you know, where is this water, Jesus? How can I get this that means I physically won't have to ever drink again? And then Jesus goes on to his disciples and talks about food that he has that they don't know where he has got it from, and that means he doesn't have to eat. And the disciples are thoroughly confused because, well, Jesus, we know we have to eat. We're all starving. We've been walking for days in this heat. Of course we have to drink, and of course we have to eat. And there's always many surfaces. It's a bit like an onion that we referred to earlier on with the kids. There's always many layers of what Jesus talks about. There's the kind of very surface level, which we can take, and Jesus says some nice things, and we can take those things away and think, well, that's great. Jesus talks about this water that means we never have to thirst again. Sounds pretty cool. I'm sure if you can market that and bottle that, you'd probably make a fortune. Or food that means you don't have to eat of it. All these things are wonderful on a surface level and sound very strange. But of course, when we delve into them slightly more, we know that Jesus isn't talking about water that means you never have to drink again or food that you never have to eat again. There's always something deeper that Jesus talks about. And it's also, and always, something that he never points out obviously. And that's why even things as we read for ourselves through the little sheets that we have down at the back. That's good to do, because until we find out a truth for ourselves, until we discover it for ourselves, it never really sinks in. I can tell you lots of things, but the chances are it probably won't sink in until you have that little light bulb moment for yourself where it suddenly dawns on you that it's right and true and good. Happens with my wife all the time. I tell her things and... But there's always a moment where we have to take it for ourselves, we have to think about it for ourselves, and we have to discover it for ourselves. And that's the same with communion. What we have in here is juice. What we have here is simply bread. And so we know when we drink of it and when we eat of it, it's juice and bread. But there's something much more profound that goes on beneath it when we drink of it and when we eat it. Because it quenches those deepest longings. What it stands for heals those deepest wounds. When we take part in it, it in some way quenches the thirst that we have for something more and something greater and something bigger over us to make sense and to heal and to make whole once again. That's what communion is all about. That's why we eat and drink as one body. That's why we have it every month, because we realize that there's always something more to this life that we have, to the thirst that we crave for the satisfaction that we seek after, that is more than money, that's more than food, that's more than any drink, that's more than anything than this that this world can provide physically for us. And at the deepest level, it's found at this table. This isn't the Presbyterian Church in Ireland's table. This isn't Garnerville's table. This is the Lord's table. And so when we come and when we take part in it, it's Him who heals us, who restores us, who creates in us that newness of life and satisfies those thirsts and longings and deepest desires that we have. There's no set requirements we have to come to this table. But today, if you feel that you have a longing, that you have something within you that stirs, there is something within you that needs quenched, then come and drink and come and eat. And as we do so, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us, that you are amongst us, and that you are in us this day. As we eat and drink, we pray that this becomes more than simply juice and bread, that this becomes a way of acknowledging your healing power upon our lives, your living water which can thirst, can quench even the deepest thirst, and can satisfy the deepest longings within us. Be with us and work in us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.